One of the issues during lockdown and after has been whether we've increased our drug taking, with anecdotal evidence that we have, at least for alcohol. But key to understanding that is, what was our drug taking before the pandemic hit? Last week, the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare released the latest findings from the National Drug Strategy Household Survey, and it contains some surprises about the changing habits of the young and the old, well, older. Wayne Hall is professorial fellow at the Centre of Youth Substance Use Research at the University of Queensland. Welcome back to the Health Report, Wayne.
Thank you, Norman.
Long time between drinks. First, give us the findings on the young.
Well, it's a phenomenon that's been observed in a lot of other comparable countries, the UK, the US, Canada, that they're drinking less, less likely to binge, they're smoking tobacco less, they're tending to use most drugs at a lower rate than they used to. They're generally getting much healthier than their older brethren.
It's amazing news. I mean, before we go any further, this survey, how does it do its work? How reliable is it?
Well, I mean, it's a survey that's been done now since, I think, 1985 was the first one. They're done by market research companies that they involve either face-to-face interviews or dropping questionnaires off at households and getting people to complete them. The response rate's about the same as before, which is just under 50%, which has become pretty standard for household surveys these days because of overload amongst us, so we're more resistant to completing surveys than we once were.
So what you're suggesting is that because this pattern mimics what's happened overseas, it's likely to be reliable?
I think it is. I mean, I think it's probably better for some drugs than others. I mean, I think the data from these surveys are probably much more reliable for drugs like alcohol, tobacco, and probably cannabis when you're dealing with much less commonly used and much more stigmatized drugs, say like heroin or methamphetamine. You're less likely to capture people who are using those drugs in surveys of this sort, and they're probably a bit less likely to acknowledge the use of a drug which is pretty stigmatized.
What were the findings on ice, heroin, and say prescription opioids?
Well, a mixture of the findings on methamphetamine, where its prevalence of uses remained pretty much the same as it was in the previous survey in 2016, around 1.5%, a little bit less. A bit more use of ice, the crystalline methamphetamine form, and those who used that drug were much more likely to be regular users. The heroin, I don't think, has changed a lot. The prescription opioids have declined, largely because we scheduled codeine. It was no longer available over the counter and had to require a prescription. So there's been a lot less use of that drug, and there's other information out there on problems related to codeine that suggests that it's gone down fairly substantially.
Before we get to the findings in older people, have we any idea why the young are such an example to the rest of us, or becoming an example to the rest of us?
Well, there's lots of speculation. That's an area of very active research. And I mean, one suggestion is they're spending more time on social media and less time to drink and socialise and get out and about. I suspect it's a combination of factors, but we do see these sort of long waves of alcohol consumption, where generations learn from the behaviour of their parents to moderate their consumption. If they see bad examples in older adults and older siblings and parents, then they sometimes are inclined to reduce their consumption. I think we have been through a period, a decade or more, of heavier drinking and alcohol-related problems. There's a lot more media attention to the downside of heavy drinking now, and I think that's probably having some sort of effect.
Well, let's move now to older people, because there were some findings of increased usage, particularly of cannabis.
Yeah, I mean, amongst older adults, I mean, I think we need to put it in perspective. It's particularly amongst the 40 to 49-year age group. And this is use in the last year has gone from a bit under 9% up to a bit over 11%. And in the older adults over 60, it's gone from a bit under 1% in 2001 to just a bit under 4% in 2019.
This is cannabis you're talking about?
Yeah, this is use in the last year amongst this age group. And I mean, I think a large part of it is a birth cohort effect. People now getting into their 60s, as you mentioned earlier, are boomers. And they would
have been weed smokers since youth, is what you're telling me?
Well, not so much since youth. I mean, I think a lot of people in this age group have stopped and some are coming back to it, possibly. There's probably a group of people who've persisted in using throughout that period. And we're seeing, again, this a very similar phenomenon in North America, particularly the US at the moment. So I think one part of it is the persistence of use and greater acceptability of cannabis use in this age group because they've had prior experience with it. I think the other big factor is, of course, the very positive media around cannabis as a medicine for everything.
So medicinal cannabis.
And particularly for things like chronic pain, difficulty sleeping, anxiety, depression, which are all problems that older adults are more likely to experience.
Yet there's no evidence that it makes any difference.
Pretty soft evidence. I mean, there is evidence of a modest benefit in the case of chronic pain, but it's better than placebo, but not by much. In the case of sleep, in the short term, it probably helps people to get off to sleep. But I think the worry with a lot of what people see as medical use in this age group is that it tends to be pretty regular. In the US surveys there, medical users tend to be much more likely to be daily users.
And the risks?
And that's a pattern. Well, I mean, the obvious one's dependence, and I think it's still an underappreciated risk of cannabis. You can develop dependence on the drug. You develop tolerance. That's the downside, the effects of the drug.
So you take more and more to get the same effect.
That's right. So it can become a bit of an expensive habit. And I guess when you're getting into older age groups, you know, if you've got an increased risk of cardiovascular disease, then smoking cannabis or smoking anything is not a good idea. And we know that cannabis does have direct effects on the, well, THC has direct effects on the cardiovascular system. So a higher risk, older adult population, probably not a great idea to be smoking cannabis.
And finally and briefly, what about the brain and thinking and memory?
Well, I think that's the other one, the cognitive impairment. I mean, in older adults, we've got less cognitive reserve, say, than younger adults. And if we're smoking daily, you're probably blunting your capacity a bit. So there's that downside as well, I think, we need to look at.
A bit of drug education for the older in the community.
I think so, yes. I think that'd be sensible.
Wayne, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Wayne Hall is at the Centre for Youth Substance Use Research at the University of Queensland, and you're at RN's Health Report with me, Norman Swan.